Good morning. So we continue today. We are on Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. We're going to do the first half of the Amud. We're actually already into it. The topic for today is the Takanos of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. We've seen a number of them, and we're going to conclude a number of his extra Takanos over here, and then and tomorrow hopefully we'll get to the end of his Takanos, and this will be a sort of a wrap of this particular area. So let's start without much further ado. And the Gemara tells us the following. Actually, it's the Mishnah. The Mishnah is an addendum. Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha would say, "V'oid zois." Some people say that he was the son of Rabbi Akiva Karcha from Kereach. So he's a later Amora Tana. He says, "V'oid zois hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai shafir roish based in v'chomakom shelo yiyu edim holchim ela lamakom avad." If the Rosh Beis Din was not in his regular place, so he had exited his regular venue, so where did the Edom have to go? That's the question at hand. So in the towns of the Beis HaMikdash, the Edom would have to follow the Rosh Beis Din, whereas Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's takana was that they released the Edom from having to go to where he was. They could always go to the Beis Vad, which means the house of gathering, which in this case means the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin, meaning the responsibility of the witnesses was only to get to the Beis Vad. They didn't have to find the Rosh Beis Din. Now, why was the Rosh Beis Din so important to this process? What are the Edim coming for in this particular case? What are we talking about? What Edim? So these are the Edim who are Mekadesh the Chodesh. Okay, so these are the Edim who happen to be on the 29th, 30th of the month. They are looking in the skies and they see there's a moon, a new moon, so they rush to Beis Din. So the reason why the Rosh Beis Din is actually instrumental is if you just take a look on page on Daf Chof Dalet Amud Aleph. So this is a mission. The previous or two prokem back Chof Dalet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says in the middle of the page Chof Dalet Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah in the middle of the page says the following: Mas Nisin. Rosh based in Omer Mekudash v'kolam Oinim Acharav Mekudash Mekudash. So the person who would be able to make the proclamation of the new month was the Rosh based in. So you would think, therefore, that the Edim would be bound to where he would be. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's Takana releases them from finding him. Okay, for releases them from finding him, and they just go. Their responsibility is only to go to the Beis Vad, to the actual Beis Din itself. Which now, so the question just that the Mepharshim should deal with now is, so what would actually happen then? So let's say the Beis Din now it receives these witnesses and now wants to be Mekadesh Shachodesh. So what would Beis Din do? Surely they need the Av B'Rosh Beis Din to actually proclaim it. So you haven't really helped anything by allowing the people or the Edim just to come to the Beis Vad. So it's not clear. It happens to be that it sounds like. It sounds like that perhaps people are medayik from Rashi, that in fact, what happens is that, take a look at the last Rashi, on the Mishnah back on Lamed Aleph and Beis, he says, Elo lamakom avad, shel yeshiva, the place where they would sit, v'yelchu v'sanhedrin yekadshuhu b'loy Rosh Beis Din. So what's the takon Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Is that the Rosh Beis Din is no longer integral. Now this could be, because remember, during the times of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, there was a persecution of religious leadership. Not clear if this might be because he's trying to sort of take the authority away from a person who might be under scrutiny, right? Who may, because we know that later on he's not yet living in the times of the Hadrianic persecutions, but Kiddush HaKodesh was one of the persecuted activities. I'm not sure if that's where he's going, but nonetheless he seems to take away the vestige of power from the Rosh Beis Din in order to maybe to preserve the system. Which seems to be the question the Mepharshim deals is, so what happens if the Rosh Beis Din would come in later on in the day? Meaning, does he have no power left? So the way it's suggested in Yom Tro, which is one of the Mepharshim on the pages, is that no, what happens is they would be Mekadesh Al Tanai. They would say, this is Mekudesh, and then with his stamp of approval, when he would arrive. But they wouldn't have to have him right there at that point in time. Sean, you had a thought?
Clock state. So he's off somewhere. He's off for an hour. So does noon mean they have to arrive and the Rosh Bezdin has to be there, or noon means that they have to punch the clock, they have to get there, they have to time stamp that they have to arrive?
That's interesting.
At 9, okay, he'll be there an hour later to do Mizak.
No, yeah, I hear you. The only issue is that the idea of accepting Adam earlier was Takana pre Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was then released then to be able to recover all the day, right? So he reverted backwards. So he might be less of a worried about that then. But nonetheless, it's just an interesting. The Mishnah doesn't give us very many reasons to deal with this, why he's doing this particular Takana. But remember, everything he's doing is Churban related. So it must be that there's, you know, perhaps the absence of the Rosh Beis Din is where he's trying to save. He's preserving the process to some degree. Anyways, this is the Takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So now we transpose this to a practical case. The Gemara tells us, Hahi Itza, there was a particular woman, Daz Menua Ledina Kameda Amemar, Benardai. So we don't know what the particular case is yet, but she received a Hazmona, she received a summons to court in front of Amemar. Okay, Amemar is an Amora, he lives in Nahardai in Babylon. Azal Amemar Lemechoiza Veloy Azla Basra. So he happened to be in another city that day, the day that she was summoned. So he went to Mechoiza, not Nahardai, and she didn't follow him. She didn't take the train. So cause of Pesicha Iluva. So he wrote a Shamta, meaning he put her in a state of cherem for not having having traveled to Beis Din. Okay, so what do you see going on over here? Well, what was she responsible to have done? She should have followed him, even though there was ostensibly a Beis Din which remained in Nahardai. But nonetheless, she should have taken herself up, traveled to Mechoiza where he was, because he summoned her, right? And he was obviously the head of this Beis Din. So you see an interesting thing here. Omale Rav Ashi, La Meimar, V'ha'anant Nana Filo Rosh Beis Din B'chol Mokom Shlo Yu Eidim Ha'olchem Elo L'Mokom Avad. Our mission indicates that Beis Din is the central location, not the Rosh Beis Din. So you're punishing her for not traveling to you, but what happens if she arrived at the Beis Din in Nahardai and that was where she wanted to serve her papers? So why is it so why are you punishing her for this? By the way, just in today's way the Beis Din works, the Beis Din sends out hazmonas to people to their address with a mail which is signed, so it has to be delivered, and a person doesn't respond in 3 times, they get what's called a seiruv. It's not the same power as a shamta, but seiruvim are issued against people who don't come to Beis Din. It's a very serious thing. This lady didn't go to the Rosh Beis Din, so this is what she got. Amalei hani mele leine eidos hachodesh. Imkei nimses machshilon lasid lavoi. What's going to happen is the reason why that that the Mishnah tells us that the Rosh Beis Din is not integral is because it's for Eidos HaChodesh. We don't want to make it difficult in the future for them. However, the Aval Hacha Eved Loi Vele Ish Loi Malve. Let's think about this for a second. This is actually a pasuk in Mishlei, which means that what's the idea in this pasuk? Eved Loi Vele Ish Malve. That. Right, so in a loan system, the loiver, the person who has borrowed the money, which means he's really essentially got the benefit, is the responsible party. He is tied down by the malve. Mm-hmm. So, which means to say, therefore, what is our case? What is the case that Rabbi Meir was dealing with then? If we just sort of try to read backwards into the case.
She was the borrower.
So she was the borrower. She had money, and she was withholding payments, which is why Rabbi Meir summoned her to Beis Din, because obviously... The creditor had come to Amemar to help facilitate the return of the money. If he therefore moved to another place, if he says Amemar, this is not like Eidos HaChodesh where there's a greater ideal at hand, where there's the whole notion of Kiddush HaChodesh, and therefore we want to preserve the whole system. Rather, what's going on over here is we actually want to, she's the responsible party, she has to go to the ends of the earth to make sure that's taken care of. There's no Takana Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, which is going to preserve her case.
In the Kodesh, if they had to go out of their way, then they may not do it again.
Correct, exactly, and that's exactly Lasid Lava, exactly. And so with her, it's a more personal case, and she's the responsible party. Okay, so therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's Takana is specific. By the way, This is a little bit of a difficulty just to undo this Gemara very quickly, because on the one hand, what is the default and what is the unique case? Okay, Meaning, let's think about this for a second. What's the default and what's the unique case? Because where we described it, Eidos HaKodesh is unique, and Loiva is unique. Right? There's no, we haven't described what the default is. You could say over here, all I know is two unique cases, but I don't know what the regular law of the land is. Okay, so most of the Mephoshim actually say that the unique case, you see this? Meaning, the case of loans is unique because Eved Loiva Ishmalve. The case of Kiddush HaKodesh is unique because we want to preserve the last love that people are not going to get frustrated and not come to Beis Din. But what about regularly? What about let's say a case of theft, right? So what about that case? And a person summoned to Beis Din, or you know other types of cases. So the most unfortunate suggests on this on the page that actually the case of Eved Loiva Ishmalve is the anomaly. It's an unusual case. And the default would be, like Kiddush HaKodesh, like Riyachar Bezaka says, that we try to make it easier for people to get to Beis Din. Okay? It just happens to be that that is the case where you are more the responsibility to get there. So that is an application or perhaps an exception to the Takana of Riyachar Bezaka now.
Is there a reason that they say that that's the default? I would assume that there are two separate, is call it DNA and Mamonos, and then there's...
Yeah, you're right. I'm not particularly clear of that. It's a good question. But it's interesting, right? So this is the applications la halacha. Tana Rabbanan, let's do one more takana, and then we're going to hold it here today. Tana Rabbanan, enokhanim roshayim la'alos b'sanhedrin l'duchan, that kohanim cannot go up to the duchan, which is like, let's say, abima in our shul. They cannot ascend to the duchan with b'san aleihem, with their shoes. So these are one of the nine takonos of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that they can't go up to the duchan in sandals. Now, what is this is referring to where? This is referring to where? In which context?
None of
the Beis Hamikdash, okay? Because this is post destruction. He is saying that in shuls where kohanim would only be duchan, the shul kohanim don't wear sandals. Why? Why would they not? Why do kohanim not wear shoes like the halacha is today? Okay, so the Gemara actually describes this, and the Gemara discusses this elsewhere, and the Gemara says that the reason is that what's going to end up happening is one of the kohanim, let's say he has a broken strap, let's say his shoes are not in a great condition, so he's not going to go do Birkas Kohanim because he's concerned about his shoes, the status of his shoes. So the Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made a takana that they should remove all their shoes, that all kohanim should do Birkas Kohanim. Which is, by the way, only applicable in a post-Mikdash reality, because in the Beis Mikdash, no one wore shoes. Which, by the way, leads the Mora Katsir to go in the same direction, the Mora Katsir, one of the Pirushim on the Gemara, to suggest, like Murray just suggested, which is, no, it's not to do with their embarrassment. It's a function of we want to remember what would happen in the Beis Mikdash. In the Beis Mikdash, kohanim used to serve barefoot. So yeah, same thing. We're going to remember that, which seems to be another takon of Yochanan ben Zakkai, which is Zeichon HaMikdash, the way they used to do in the Mikdash as well. Right? Yes.
Socks.
Okay. Mikdash,
socks.
You're right. So that, but I think that's a riot to the Mora Katsia, right. that it isn't simply leveling the playing field. It's also
no,
remembering.
No, it's not the other way around. According to the Mora Katsia, they would have to take their socks off.
Yeah. Well, the first woman only walks socks, and that's it. But no. According to the Mora Katsia, he would say, meaning, according to the logic of, if it was just about not embarrassing the Kohanim, right, then I would say socks should still go off as well, because, you know, like the person who's got his fancy pink socks with yellow dots, you know what I'm saying, like, and the other guy, Nebuch, he's got brown socks, you know what I'm saying, like, he's got holes on by his left toe, you know what I'm saying, like, so I think the logic of the Gemara still continues, and, I would say both ways it doesn't act as a riot. But I also don't think that people were wearing socks. I don't think they were manufacturing. I don't think they were manufacturing enough material that they were using them for socks. People in those days had, you know, one garment tunic for the week and one tunic if they were lucky for Shabbos, and that was the sum total of their wardrobe.
No 12-year says that they wouldn't bend down. If you bent down, it was suspected. He didn't say the bracha because there's a defect in his lineage.
Okay, so there might be another reason. Uh-huh, interesting.
So
who's he quoting there? Is Zatzra quoting? Okay. Interesting. Okay. Okay, fascinating. Okay, fascinating. So that's an additional reasoning as well. Let's just conclude today. The Gemara says the following. So the Gemara concludes, Shista Hai Pirka. We have six in this parak. Let's just quickly recap our parak. Right, our parak, we saw Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had a sakona about the blowing of shofar in Rosh Hashanah. We talked about Lulav all 7 days. We talked about Yom HaNef Kula Asa. We talked about receiving Edom of the Chodesh all day long. We talked about the Rosh Beis Din, and then not following the Rosh Beis Din, and then finally we just talked about this case of the Kohanim. Those are six. That's six, and then V'idach, and another one. Our seventh one is V'chadu D'Pirka Kama. There's one more takon in the previous parak, which was that the Edom cannot be machal al Shabbos to deliver Edos HaKodesh, because in those days, in the times of Beis HaMikdash, she used to run to Beis Din in order to be able to tell them that the month had begun, and it was necessary to come even on Shabbos because they would bring Korbanos, which would be affected on Shabbos. But today, it wouldn't affect Korbanos, so unless it's Nisan or Tishrei, they wouldn't be machal al Shabbos, because otherwise it's not really necessary to know immediately at the first day of the month. And finally, and the last one we're going to deal with now over here is Titania, Gershon is Gair Bizman Azeh, Tzorech Sheyafrish Roiva Likinai. So that a person who was a Gair had to separate a quarter of a shekel for his kin, which means is for his nest, for a bird. So halacha was that when a person would be Megair to Judaism, they would have to have a bird sacrifice of a kin brought, a kan, and so even though today we don't have the korbanos, the ger would have to separate the necessary money to have that korban. Why? Why would he have to separate that korban? Meaning today, is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saying. A ger comes to be a guy, he needs to separate a small amount of money that would be sufficient to buy a bird for a korban. Why? Right, so it's understood that Shema Yibonei Beis HaMikdash, that maybe the Beis HaMikdash will be bought, and he'll have the money now ready for his gerus. That's very strange, because there's many people who should had to bring korbanos in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Like, let's say, for instance, a yoledes, a woman who has a child, or people who are in certain states in purity. We don't say, oh, they can only become pure today by bringing an extra bit of money, right? We don't say, oh, just bring a token amount of money just in case the Beis HaMikdash is built. So the way it's understood in general over here, like the Yom Tura, I think the Turei Evan understands on this Gemara is that no. By a ger, it's much more of a serious withholding. By a ger, if he didn't bring this korban, he couldn't become Jewish. Lo yavo bikal, if it was the times of the Beis HaMikdash. If a woman, let's say, couldn't bring a korban, a mitzora, all other people who are lacking to mentara, what's the worst outcome that would happen? They couldn't eat kodshim. Okay, but they're still Jewish. Right? So
it's not a question. They couldn't eat kodshim l'mafrei. Everything they touched is...
Okay, you're right. So it does affect the tumentara, but they're still Jewish. Right, whereas the gravity of the gerus is such that we want to keep
they
it.
They walked into Beis HaMikdash. You're talking about, you know,
okay, you're right. There are serious consequences, but not to the degree of loyava bakal.
There's no move us loyal holito.
Exactly, okay. And so therefore that's why we sort of keep it as a token of that. However, the Gemara tells us, and with this we end, that Omar, Rabbi Shimon, and Ben Elazar, kavar nimna olav Rabbi Yochanan ubitla b'mnei shatakala. They voted against Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. This takana did not hold up. Why? Because what's going to end up happening is he's going to separate his money. And what's going to end up happening is he's going to use it and he's going to misuse it. And the problem is when you makadesh money, let's say the Mekdash is made and he puts it on his mantelpiece and then he goes to the makolet and he goes and uses it on drinks. That is actually ila behektesh. That's the stakes are too high. We'll continue tomorrow.